Imagine yourself embarking on a journey through time, an expedition to the heart of the Old Testament, where the roots of faith intertwine with the stories of a chosen people, culminating in the advent of a divine promise, the birth of the Messiah. This narrative is not merely a history lesson, it is an invitation to illuminate your soul with the eternal truths of Scripture, an invitation extended to you through the pages of the book Panorama of Christian History, a masterpiece by the renowned pastor Hernandez Diaz López. In the beginning, before the concept of beginning even held any meaning, there existed a presence, God. He is the Alpha, existing beyond the bounds of eternity, without origin. For he himself is the origin. He is not a creation. Rather, he is the supreme creator, whose hands shaped the universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 verse 1, an act of immeasurable power that set the stage for all existence. And then, at the pinnacle of his creation, on the sixth day, God formed man in his own image and likeness. Adam, the first man, and Eve, his companion, were brought to life, inaugurating an era of perfection. They dwelled in the Garden of Eden, an earthly paradise, where they reigned as stewards of divine creation, in full communion with the Creator. They were embodiments of purity and innocence, yet also of free will. However, this primordial harmony was shattered. Adam and Eve's disobedience to the single forbidden commandment resulted in the fall, an event that plunged all humanity into an abyss of sin and separation from God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3 verse 23. And thus, the story of redemption began to unfold, a story marked by highs and lows, promises and prophecies, all leading to the birth of Jesus, the promised Messiah. As the narrative of the Old Testament unfolds, we find Adam and Eve at the heart of a family tragedy that would shape the destiny of humanity. Their sons, Cain and Abel, embody the duality of human nature. On one hand, faith and devotion, on the other, envy and violence. Cain, consumed by envy, commits the irreversible act of murdering his brother Abel, marking himself as the first murderer and fratricide in the chronicles of humanity. This catastrophic event not only shook the foundations of the first family, but also cast a long shadow over the descendants of Adam and Eve. Yet hope emerges with the birth of another son, Seth, from whom would descend a lineage that sought the face of God, an early sign of redemption amidst the darkness of human depravity. Despite this spark of light, wickedness continued to spread across the earth, a crescendo of violence and corruption that led God to a painful decision: the destruction of the creation that had strayed so drastically from his ways. Yet in Noah, a righteous man, God saw the opportunity for a new beginning. The flood, a divine judgment, was also an act of mercy, preserving Noah, his family, and the promise of a future. From the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the earth was repopulated, each giving rise to distinct nations, tracing the lines of Semitic, African, Asian, and European peoples. But it was through Abraham, called by God from the city of Ur of the Chaldeans, that the promise of a chosen nation, a lineage through which the Messiah would come into the world, began to take shape. Abraham, obeying the divine call, left his homeland and his family, becoming a pilgrim of faith, an example of devotion and trust in God. On a starry night, beneath the vast desert sky, a man of faith confronts the silence of his doubts with the immensity of the promised. Abraham, at 75 years old, departs from Haran, carrying not only his belongings, but a divine promise of an unimaginable legacy. God's promise was clear: a son, the son of promise, who would inaugurate a lineage as vast as the stars in the sky and the sands on the sea. And through this lineage, all the families of the earth would be blessed. However, faith is a path paved with trials. 11 years of silent waiting pass, and Sarah, his wife, consumed by uncertainty, offers Abraham her servant Hagar, hoping to fulfill the divine promise through human means. From this union, Ishmael is born, ancestor of the Arab people, marking the beginning of a historical rivalry with the people of Israel. When Abraham reaches 99 years old, God calls him again, this time with a command that would defy any human logic. Go out from your tent and count the stars, if indeed you can. It was a promise of countless descendants, but also a foretelling of bondage and suffering for 430 years. And in an act of eternal covenant, God changes Abram's name, Great Father, to Abraham, Father of Many Nations. Against all odds, at the age of 100 for Abraham and 90 for Sarah, Isaac, the son of promise, is born. The joy of his birth is just the beginning of a story of continued faith through generations. Isaac and his wife Rebecca, after 20 years of waiting and praying for an heir, are blessed with twins, Esau and Jacob. Esau, the firstborn, becomes the father of the Edomites, while Jacob, after a journey of errors and redemption, is renamed Israel, becoming the patriarch of the Israelites. The saga of Jacob and his descendants leads us to one of the most fascinating transitions in the history of the people of Israel. From the vast fields of Canaan, Jacob's family, guided by the destiny of Joseph, the penultimate son, finds refuge in the lands of Egypt. In the fertile region of Goshen, a family of 70 souls begins an era of exponential growth. Over four centuries, these 70 souls multiply astonishingly, turning into a nation of approximately 2 million people, ready to claim their promised inheritance under the divinely appointed leadership of Moses. The journey back to the promised land, which theoretically should have lasted only 3 months, stretches for 40 long years due to disbelief and defiance. 12 spies were sent to explore the land flowing with milk and honey. However, upon their return, 10 of them spread a discouraging report, undermining the people's trust in God and Moses with visions of insurmountable giants. At this moment, history takes a dramatic turn, except for Joshua and Caleb, whose unwavering faith distinguished them. An entire generation is condemned to perish in the desert, turning it into the greatest open-air cemetery ever known, where the dreams of a nation died along with their bearers. This period in the desert was not only a punishment, but also a purification, a time for a new generation to emerge, one that did not know the slavery of Egypt and that would be ready to take on the land under God's promise. And after four decades of purgatorial waiting, the moment of redemption finally arrives. Under the leadership of Joshua, the people of Israel begin the conquest of the promised land, a process that would last years, marked by battles, miracles, and the continuous manifestation of divine faithfulness. With the passing of the mantle from Moses to Joshua, the biblical scene transforms into a new era of conquests and challenges. Joshua, the faithful servant, takes on the monumental task of leading Israel to the promised land, fulfilling the divine promise through a mixture of courage, faith, and leadership directly inspired by God. The triumphant entry into Canaan marks the beginning of a promising era. However, Joshua's death signals the prelude to a turbulent time, the 330 years of the period of the Judges. During this era, characterized by direct theocracy, Israel faces a vicious cycle of apostasy, oppression, repentance, and salvation. In a time when everyone did what was right in their own eyes, spiritual instability was the norm, and the faith of the people of Israel fluctuated as drastically as the tides. Despite the hardness of the people's hearts, God, in His mercy, raises up judges, leaders and deliverers like Gideon, Jephthah, Samson and Samuel, charismatic figures endowed with divine strength and wisdom to guide and free Israel from the hands of their oppressors. However, the desire for stability and the influence of neighboring nations lead Israel to clamor for a monarchy, an earthly king under whom they would unite and be like the other nations. Samuel, the last of these judges, anointed by God, reluctantly grants this request by anointing Saul as the first king of Israel. Saul's reign begins with promise and potential, but tragically deteriorates into disobedience, pride, and ultimately disgrace. After Saul, emerges David, a shepherd with the heart of a king, whose 40-year reign would bring a period of success, expansion, and prosperity to Israel. David, known for both his military victories and his deep spirituality, transfers the capital to Jerusalem, solidifying its status as the city of the great king and the spiritual heart of Israel. David, the shepherd turned king, occupied a prominent place not only on the throne of Israel, but also in the heart of the biblical narrative. His rise to power was marked not only by conquests and glories, but also by a deep and complex relationship with God. David, described as a man after God's own heart, lived a life full of triumphs and tragedies, evidencing humanity in its rawest and most authentic form. Even in the face of grave sins against God, his family, and his people, his contrite heart and sincere repentance led him to divine forgiveness. It is from the lineage of David that the Messiah would come, fulfilling God's eternal promise. Solomon, David's son, inherits the kingdom in a period of peace and prosperity. His prayer for wisdom instead of riches or power reveals a heart initially inclined toward just and wise governance. God, honoring this humility, grants him not only unparalleled wisdom, but also riches and honors beyond any other king of his time. Under his reign, Israel reaches its peak of splendor with the construction of the temple in Jerusalem, an achievement that would immortalize his name. However, the promise of a peaceful reign is overshadowed by Solomon's inclination to the influences of his numerous wives, leading him into idolatry and compromising his relationship with God. Only in old age does Solomon turn back to God, reflecting on his errors and seeking redemption. This trio of kings, Saul, David, and Solomon, illustrates the complex relationship between human desire for earthly leadership and the divine consequences of that choice. Each, though anointed by God, succumbs to different temptations, Saul to witchcraft, David to adultery, and Solomon to idolatry. Their stories serve as a reminder of the inherent danger of disconnecting from divine purpose and the ease with which the human heart can stray. The death of Solomon marks a crucial turning point in the history of Israel, a moment that precipitates the fragmentation of a unified nation into two distinct kingdoms. At the core of this division was popular discontent under the heavy tax burden imposed by the luxury and extravagance of Solomon's reign. When Rehoboam, his son, inherits the throne, the people's outcry for relief is arrogantly ignored. This royal insensitivity seals the fate of a nation. 10 out of the 12 tribes rebel under the leadership of Jeroboam, inaugurating the northern kingdom with Samaria as its capital. This new kingdom, which would last for 209 years, saw a succession of 19 kings from 8 different dynasties, each straying further than the previous from the path of God. Jeroboam, the architect of this schism, instigated a national apostasy by instituting idolatrous worship, establishing temples in locations like Bethel, Gilgal, and Beersheba, and introducing golden calves for worship. This maneuver, though motivated by a desire to consolidate his political power, fearing that worship in Jerusalem might lead his people back to the kingdom of Judah, resulted in a legacy of idolatry and spiritual perversion that haunted the northern kingdom until its end. Amidst the growing corruption and moral decay, God does not remain silent. Prophets are raised as voices of accusation against the corruption of the kings, the complacency of convenience prophets, and the greed of bribable priests. These men of God, figures like Elijah, Elisha, Hosea, and Amos, emerge as beacons of righteousness, challenging the status quo and calling for a return to true worship and obedience to divine commandments. In this tumultuous period of Israel's history, God does not turn away from his people. Instead, he raises up prophets like Amos, Hosea, and Micah, men whose courage transcends human fear, challenging both the powerful in palaces and the humble in hovels. They become God's voice in a fragmented society where social injustice and economic oppression reign. With divine eloquence, these prophets confront the corruption that has infiltrated every sphere of Israelite life, from politics to religious practice to social injustice. They clearly denounce the idolatry, abuse of power, and distortion of faith that marked this period, calling the people to repentance. However, the reign of Ahab and the nefarious influence of his wife Jezebel introduce a new era of spiritual decay in Israel, with the worship of Baal, the Canaanite god of prosperity, gaining dangerous prominence. It is in this backdrop that Elijah emerges, a prophet of fire who challenges Israel's apostasy. Confronting the prophets of Baal in a dramatic display of the power and sovereignty of the God of Israel. Through Elijah, and later Elisha, God performs prodigious acts, reaffirming his power and presence amidst a wayward people. However, Israel's continued refusal to listen and return to God leads to the implementation of the rod language. God allows Assyria, a warrior and expansionist empire known for its brutality, to act as an instrument of his wrath against Israel. The ferocity with which the Assyrians treated conquered peoples, mutilating bodies, stacking heads at the city gates, and subjecting survivors to unspeakable humiliations, was a grim testimony to the cost of disobedience and departure from God. After the exile of the northern people, Assyria, under the reign of Sargon the Coup, adopts a strategy of cultural dilution, sending various peoples to settle in the region of Israel. This intentional blending of races aims to weaken any potential resistance, creating a melting pot of cultures and identities. From this intricate tapestry emerges the Samaritan people, a hybrid community that, over time, develops a deep rivalry with the people of Judah, the southern kingdom. Judah, remaining relatively stable under the rule of a single dynasty, the lineage of David, is blessed with several pious kings such as Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, Jotham, Uzziah, Joah, and Josiah. Each of these kings, ruling with righteousness, brings prosperity and growth to the nation in all aspects, economic, moral, social, and spiritual. This pattern of rise and fall underscores the importance of faithful leadership and its direct influence on the well-being of the people. However, despite these moments of renewal and faith, Judah is not immune to the corruption that plagued its northern brother. Progressively turning away from God, the southern kingdom faces the same divine discipline, the Babylonian captivity. God, through his prophets such as Isaiah, Micah, Joel, Zephaniah, and Jeremiah, tirelessly attempts to call Judah to repentance. Ignoring these appeals, Judah is finally delivered into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army, which not only invades and destroys Jerusalem, but also takes the people into exile, fulfilling the prophecy of 70 years of captivity, as announced by Jeremiah. During the arduous period of Babylonian captivity, God did not forsake his people. He raised up prophets like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, who not only offered consolation and hope amidst adversity, but also guided the people through a process of spiritual purification. It was a time when idolatry, which had infected Israel for generations, was finally eradicated, and synagogues began to emerge, establishing a new center for Jewish religious and communal life. The decree of Cyrus the Great, king of Persia, marks a turning point in the history of the Jewish people. Prophesied by Isaiah about 200 years before his birth, Cyrus allowed the Jews to return to their land, initiating a period of physical and spiritual rebuilding. Under the leadership of Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, the people returned in three successive waves, each with a specific focus: the reconstruction of the temple, the teaching of the law, and the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, respectively. However, this period of renewal was not without challenges. The opposition of the Samaritans, who initially offered to assist in the reconstruction of the temple but with malicious intentions, soon turned into open hostility when their offer was rejected. Their subsequent actions, including threats and accusations against King Artaxerxes of alleged rebellion, led to the halt of the temple's work for about 20 years. During this time of stagnation, the people of Judah, straying from their initial purpose, began to focus on their personal interests, neglecting the house of God. It was at this critical moment that God raised up Haggai and Zechariah. The prophets sparked a spiritual revival, calling the people to repentance and a renewal of zeal for the reconstruction of the temple. Their messages deeply touched the hearts of the Jews, resulting in a spiritual revival that invigorated the community. Under their influence, the people repented and, with renewed enthusiasm, completed the reconstruction of the temple. This spiritual awakening also promoted a restoration in family practices and priesthood, marking a decisive turning of the whole heart back to God. About a century after the return from exile and the reconstruction of the temple, a period of spiritual complacency set in among the people of Judah. The initial religious fervor gave way to a mechanical routine of empty rituals. Sacrifices, which should have been expressions of devotion and gratitude to God, became insincere acts, with blind and sick animals being offered on the altar. The profanation of sacred rituals reflected a deeper decay of faith, with corrupt priests failing in their duty to instruct the people in the Word of God. The family structure, a pillar of society, also suffered, with marriages breaking apart into divorces, evidencing a departure from divine principles. In this context of spiritual and moral apathy, God raised the prophet Malachi to confront the people with their sins and call them all to repentance. Malachi highlights the people's unfaithfulness, both in their commitments to God and in their relations with one another, marking the closure of the Old Testament and foreshadowing a period of prophetic silence that would last 400 years until the advent of John the Baptist and Christ. The so-called intertestamental period, or the period of prophetic silence, was an era of significant political, cultural, and religious transformation. During this time, the apocryphal books were written, though not included in the Jewish or Protestant Christian biblical canon. The translation of the Old Testament into Greek, known as the Septuagint, facilitated the spread of Jewish scriptures among Greek speakers, laying the groundwork for the future propagation of the gospel. The Persian dominion was eventually replaced by the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. Alexander, through his conquests, spread Greek culture and language throughout his vast empire. Despite his premature death at 33, the legacy of Hellenization facilitated communication and the dissemination of ideas, including those of nascent Christianity, in a culturally and linguistically diverse world. After the death of Alexander the Great, his vast empire was divided among his four main generals, marking the beginning of an era of political fragmentation and ongoing conflicts. Among the resulting kingdoms, the Ptolemaic rule in Egypt and the Seleucid rule in Syria directly impacted Israel, often placing it in the midst of territorial disputes between these two powers. Israel thus found itself under constant shifting domination, now by the Ptolemies, now by the Seleucids. Tension reached a critical point under the reign of Antiochus IV Epiphanes, one of the Seleucid kings, who committed the profane act of sacrificing a pig on the altar of the temple in Jerusalem, an extreme blasphemy in the eyes of the Jews. This sacrilege sparked the Maccabean Revolt, a guerrilla war led by Judas Maccabeus and his brothers, who, after a bloody struggle, achieved a significant victory over the Seleucids, rededicating the temple and establishing the festival of Hanukkah to commemorate this event. In the year 63 before Christ, a new power emerges, Rome. Pompey the Great conquers Jerusalem, inaugurating a period of Roman domination over Israel. In this context, the figure of Herod the Great arises, appointed king of the Jews by the Romans. Herod is known both for his great construction works, such as the port of Caesarea, which promoted international trade and facilitated missionary journeys, and for his brutality and paranoia. His insecurity about his own power led him to commit atrocities, including the murder of members of his own family, such as his wife Mariamne, his nephew Aristobulus, and even his mother-in-law. Herod the Great is a figure of sharp contrast in history. On one hand, his architectural achievements, like the expansion of the temple in Jerusalem, reveal a monarch of vision and resources. On the other hand, his actions reflect the extreme paranoia and brutality of his reign. Caesar Augustus's call for Herod to appear in Rome due to his numerous atrocities only highlights the international recognition of his cruelty. Before his departure, Herod, consumed by fear of betrayal, orders the assassination of Mariamne, his wife, whose loyalty he questioned. This mistrust even extended to his own children, sent to Rome for education, whom he had killed upon being persuaded that they might usurp his throne. The depth of his mistrust and desire for control is further evidenced by his bizarre command to Salome, to ensure that his death was accompanied by the forced mourning of many, a perverse attempt to ensure that he would not be forgotten or even celebrated. The episode of the Magi, who arrive in Jerusalem seeking the newborn king of the Jews, vividly illustrates the fear and instability that Herod felt regarding his power. The subsequent massacre of the innocents, although not mentioned in this segment of history, is an act directly linked to his paranoia and determination to eliminate any threat to his reign, however innocent. After the death of Herod the Great, around 4 years before Christ, his vast kingdom did not pass intact to a single successor, but was divided among four of his sons, according to Roman customs and his own will. Among these, Archelaus received Judea, Samaria, and Edom, but quickly proved to be an incompetent and cruel ruler, in a way following in his father's footsteps in terms of tyranny, but lacking the same political skill or vision. Discontent with Archelaus's reign grew to such an extent that the Jewish population, desperate for change, appealed directly to Rome for his deposition. Responding to these appeals, Rome intervened, replacing Herodian governance in Judea with direct administration under Roman procurators or governors. This change marked the beginning of a new era in Judea, now under direct Roman control, with Pontius Pilate among the most notorious of these governors, known primarily for his role in the condemnation of Jesus Christ. The situation in Judea under Roman and Herodian rule exacerbated tensions and fueled a growing messianic longing among the Jewish people. Crushed under the yoke of Roman oppression and disillusioned with the corrupt leadership of the Herodians, many Jews yearned for a deliverer, a Messiah who would restore the kingdom of Israel to its ancient glory and purity. This desire for redemption was not only religious but also deeply political and social, reflecting the cry of a people for liberation from the chains of servitude and oppression. This atmosphere of messianic expectation, combined with the volatile political landscape of Judea under Rome, provided the backdrop for the arrival of Jesus of Nazareth. His life, teachings, and ultimately his death and resurrection not only fulfilled ancient Jewish prophecies about the Messiah, but also redefined the notion of liberation and kingdom, offering a hope of redemption that transcended political and temporal boundaries to reach a spiritual and eternal dimension.